Lance Armstrong is a professional athlete who expected to be tested for performance-enhancing drugs, and still, according to the U.S. Doping Agency, he failed those tests. So what about weekend warriors, everyone from master amateur athletes to people who take part in charity events? Outside Magazine is reporting that bike, triathlon, and road race organizers are starting to drug test some of them. What are the implications there? Journalist and serious amateur cyclist Ian Dilley writes about all of this for Outside Magazine and joins us from KUT in Austin, Texas. Ian, what started this testing? Was some, non-elite athlete caught using a banned substance?
In cycling, at least 18 of the last 20 athletes that tested positive were amateur athletes. That's not to say that some of these athletes weren't competing at a high level, but certainly a number of them were kind of your master's athletes or just kind of standard amateur cyclists.
So that raises the suspicions about everybody else down the line. But there are so many amateur athletes. Who is thinking of testing them?
The main organization that I base my article for Outside Magazine on is the Clean Ride Fund. It's an organization out of Florida that has solicited private donations to implement USADA testing or U.S. Anti-Doping Agency testing at amateur cycling events in Florida.
Yeah, well, you write about a 34-year-old cyclist, Elizabeth Morse Hill. She's raced hundreds of times. I mean, I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking, wait a second, is this me, the person on Sunday with the number on my back? She's raced hundreds of times. And after a recent third-place finish, she was told she needed to take a drug test. Now, her reaction was, you've got to be kidding me. Because what are the concerns of non-elite athletes?
Every athlete that buys a license to compete, so for example, cycling, the national governing body is USA Cycling, and the national governing body for triathlon is USA Triathlon. Anyone that buys, purchases a license to compete under one of these organizations, whether they're a first-time competitor up, to a professional or Olympic-level athlete, when you purchase that license, you agree to be subject to drug testing. The problem is a lot of amateur athletes aren't aware of that. So someone like Morse Hill has competed nationally. She's never been asked to take a drug test before. She's never fully familiarized herself with the World Anti-Doping Agency code that lists all of the banned substances an athlete needs to be aware of. She could have taken an allergy medication or something completely unintended to improve her performance.
An energy drink.
Some energy drinks, certainly. Some of them have stimulants in them that are banned on the banned substance list. And in fact, a master's athlete, Julio Cruz, was recently suspended after taking a test in Florida that was funded by the Clean Ride Fund. He's a 43-year-old master's racer that took a supplement that had a banned stimulant in it, and he's now facing a 6-month suspension.
We understand that there is an exemption for the athletes. For instance, if you're taking a medicine for therapeutic reasons or if there's something you have to take, something for allergies, you can get an exemption from this. But it sounds like it's putting athletes through a pretty big ringer for what's a non-elite, supposed to be fun sport.
According to USADA, they've done their best to accommodate every athlete who applies for a therapeutic use exemption. And if they're taking a medication for a valid medical purpose, according to USADA, they'll bend backwards to accommodate that athlete. We've heard from athletes that there is some red tape and bureaucracy in acquiring those therapeutic use exemptions. So it's a bit of a roadblock for an amateur competitor who just wants to compete for fun and doesn't really want to have to deal with thinking about if they might turn up positive in a drug test after the event.
Well, on the other hand, I mentioned that some people are doing this just to be in great shape and be the best athlete they can be. But others, there are people who live off prize money from these circuits. And I'm wondering, is anyone applauding this? Is there a feeling that doping has made its way into non-elite competition?
Absolutely. I mean, there was certainly a need for it, as is shown by this athlete who recently tested positive. Myself, I've competed against athletes who were competing at a fairly low level of the sport. We're talking about hundreds of dollars of prize money at stake, not thousands or millions, and have turned to performance-enhancing drugs like serious anabolic steroids to beat their competitors.
Well, you actually write about some competitors, I think from Georgia, who didn't even want to go to Florida anymore for some races because they said that they thought even the juniors in this particular race were doping.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. You know, on the one hand, you have people saying that, you know, this emphasis on drug testing lower-level athletes is going to turn them off of the sport. You know, they're not going to want to go to their local races because they don't want to have to deal with the headache of worrying about, you know, unintentionally ingesting a banned substance. On the other hand, you know, it's turning some athletes off because they want to win a race or compete in a race where they're not worried about, you know, what another athlete is doing to try and beat them or perform better than them.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, you know, you raced professionally in 2005 for 1 year. You were on the national cycling team in your early 20s. And you ask, is it fair or even possible to hold amateurs to the same standards as the pros? What do you think is going to happen? First of all, will it affect your participation?
Yeah, for myself, you know, I don't like to see other athletes cheating, but I get enjoyment out of the sport, you know, whether I win or lose. I think the sad part is that obviously other people, you know, even people that aren't doing this professionally, don't have that appreciation of the sport and feel like they need to take performance-enhancing drugs to win. And it's something, you know, that USADA talks about is a certain culture that's become somewhat pervasive is this, you know, win-at-all-cost culture.
By the way, those of us not in this world, how pervasive is this? I mean, is everybody talking about this? Is this like the buzz of the of non-elite but competitive sports?
The problem is that no one really knows. So it just leads to a lot of suspicion and innuendo, a lot of gossip. And that's one of the things that organizations like the Clean Ride Fund point to with these tests. You know, if you suspect a rider of, you know, not performing cleanly, then, you know, you can have them take a test. Basically, you can call USADA. You can report them as being suspicious.
Wow, that sets up a whole kind of like tattletale culture.
It does, and you know, it's not certain that they're going to get tested. But you know, the point is that if athletes are being tested regularly, then we can all feel like we're all competing on more of a level playing field or based on our natural ability. The thing is, there's a lot of accusations, but it's hard to really know. You know, athletes can beat tests unless you have eyewitness evidence. So there's always a little bit of gray area and wiggle room, which is, I suppose, adds to the frustration.
That's journalist and cyclist Ian Dilley, who writes about amateur drug testing in Outside Magazine. We'll link you at PureNow.org. Ian, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on testing amateurs. Just go to hereandnow.org and leave a comment. And while there, you can also see a list of banned substances. You're listening to Here and Now.